This is Lake Effect from 89.7 WUWM, Milwaukee Public Radio. Good morning, I'm Audrey Nowakowski.
And I'm Mitch Teich. Politically, Wisconsin has long been considered a purple state. Not always Democrat or Republican, a swing state. But all that changed after the 2010 election when Wisconsin became bright badger red. What happened next changed the course of state politics and, some say, undermined the very concept of democracy through what was considered a relatively benign practice, gerrymandering.
Writer Dave Daly tackles the issue of gerrymandering in his new book, Red Effed, the true story behind the secret plan to steal America's democracy. It's an in-depth analysis of the Republicans' election strategy in 2010 and the systematic effort to quash voter efficacy through redistricting.
Daly spoke with Lake Effect's Joy Powers, and he starts by explaining how states redistrict.
Every 10 years, the Constitution mandates the redrawing of every state legislative district in the country, and then every congressional district in the country. Usually it's for the sake of population balance, and it's done after every census. So the census is conducted in years ending in zero, which means that redistricting usually follows for the next year. That means that elections that end in the year zero can reverberate throughout the course of the next decade and can simply mean more than other elections.
Yeah, so in 2010, we see, especially here in Wisconsin, a lot of Republicans getting into office, and that's a result of Operation Red Map.
2010 is a terrific year for the Republicans nationally. If you remember back to that summer, it's after the Obamacare fight, it's the rise of the Tea Party, it's all the town halls about death panels, and the party that is on the out usually does better in the following midterm year. So the Republicans had the wind at their back, but they also had a plan, and that plan was to use redistricting and the gerrymander that following year in the most sophisticated way that it had ever been done. I mean, gerrymandering goes back to the dawn of the Republic. You can trace it back to Patrick Henry in 1788, but what the Republicans plan in 2010 and Operation Red Map is a systematic state-by-state study of who controls redistricting in states, and then a plan to take over as many legislative chambers across the country as they could in order to have the only voice in the room when it came time to draw the new lines. They intended to use the 2010 election to lock in control for the next 10 years at least. And in Wisconsin, they were brilliantly and devastatingly effective at this.
I mean, yeah, you look at the election in 2008 and you compare it to 2010 and it's stunning.
It is. But what's also stunning is if you then compare 2010 to the first election run on the new maps in 2012. So the Republicans have a good year in 2010. 2012 is a Democratic year. Barack Obama wins Wisconsin with 53% of the vote. Tammy Baldwin goes to the Senate, wins with 51.5% of the vote. Republicans take 5 of the 8 congressional seats from Wisconsin, despite a minority of the votes. So less than 50% of the votes leads to 62.5% of the seats. That's all at the federal level. In the assembly, it's dramatically different. Something like 56 of the 76 contested races go to Republicans, even though they barely have 50% of the vote. That is wild. When you add in all of the uncontested seats that were won by Democrats, which you should because those seats were uncontested because of the way that they were drawn and because they packed so many Democrats into them, the Democrats have 200,000 more votes in Wisconsin Assembly districts than Republicans, but they're staring down a super majority of Republicans. And this matters. It matters, not only in terms of a democracy, but it has, concrete policy implications in Wisconsin.
I mean, let's go back. Let's look at the genesis of Operation Red Map. You mentioned
Sure.
one man quite a lot, Chris Jankowski.
Jankowski is a brilliant strategist, and what he figures out is that the gerrymander can be a really effective tool. Republicans and Democrats, both sides had used it for a long time, but it was usually an instrument of partisan control, you know, both sides saying, don't mess with our seats and we won't mess with yours, or it's a way to, you know, get revenge on a single enemy or something. What Jankowski realizes is that you can exploit this as a political tool, and that the new technology that has come available allows for it to be just devastatingly effective. He's a state government guy. He is the executive director of something called the Republican State Leadership Committee. He's been active in Republican Attorney General's associations over the years, so he knows that you can have more influence on policy when you win elections at a state level, and he also knows that it's really, really cheap to run elections in state legislatures. So they spend $30 million on Red Map. That's all it costs. You can't even run a Senate seat race these days for $30 million. They lock in control of the House of Representatives for a decade for it, and it's all $100,000 in this district, $200,000 in this district. They identify enough districts in each of these states that they're focused on, Wisconsin, Ohio, Michigan, North Carolina, Pennsylvania, a couple of other ones. They target state legislators, and in the last 6 weeks of the 2010 election, they come in with $18 million of that $30 million, and they dump it mostly into negative ads in state house races, in state assembly races, and it floods all of these Democrats, and there's no way for them to respond to it. So they take out enough people to flip control of these chambers and draw themselves complete control of the redistricting process the following year. And in Wisconsin, it's amazing what that they do. They force it all behind closed doors at the Michael Best law offices. They make even the legislators who want to see what their new districts will look like sign confidentiality papers. It is an amazing, amazing process.
I mean, is that normal? Do they usually do these kinds of things?
No. Frankly, what happens in 2010 and 2011 is redistricting on steroids. It's always been a partisan tool, but in 2010 and 2011, it moves to something else. It becomes a partisan nuclear bomb. It becomes a method of governing from the minority and locking in that control for the course of the next decade. I mean, even Republican legislators who had to sign these papers in Wisconsin said that they'd never seen anything like it before. And three judge panels in the state have frowned on it as well, you know, calling it, you know, an attempt to cover up a process that, you know, should be public and to keep it out of the public view.
Part of why it changed, as you talk a lot about, is that the technology changed.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, from 2000 to 2010, we were dealing with completely different stuff.
Completely. And it will only change more dramatically between 2010 and 2020. I mean, go back and think about how you texted in the year 2000. I mean, you know, you didn't even have a keyboard on your phone. We were using numbers to adjust to each letter. It took a year to write a sentence. It was the exact same thing as far as computing power. They used computers in 1990 and in 2000 to some extent in redistricting, but it was not as fast, as powerful, and as sophisticated a tool. What they now use is a program called Maptitude, which comes preloaded with all of the census data. So you already have tremendous information on economics, on ethnicity, on religion, on all the demographic data that you would need to know. You can upload into Maptitude, if you're so inclined, and the partisans are, all of the public record data sets that are available. So you can take voting information, who votes, who doesn't vote, precinct and block level results from races going back years all the way down ballot. And so you can tell immediately what the impact is of moving a line one street in one direction. So when you see these maps that look like they're crazy Rorschach tests or something. They are actually very precise and reliable partisan performers. All of those lines are there for a reason. I went out and drove a bunch of these districts around the country, and every time you would see a strange turn or a jut or something that you didn't understand, there would always be a reason. It was because the neighborhood and the demographic changed, and it changed precisely where the lines moved. The technology is that good.
That's intense. That's an intense sort of idea. I mean,
it's only going to get more intense. The technology that they're working on now involves predictive algorithms so that you can use all of this information to try to determine what a district will look like over the course of the next 10 years. So you might draw a line that makes it look like it's a competitive district in 2021, but you know based on the demographic data that the neighborhood is changing and that by 2023 it will have a completely different look. It's the same technology that allows Amazon or Netflix to guess what it is that you might like based on what you've liked in the past, only this has got much more information and it's fundamental to our democracy.
Well, I mean, talk about Big Brother, right?
It is. It is.
The subtitle of the book is The True Story Behind the Secret Plan mm-hmm. to Steal America's Democracy. But I think what was most surprising in your book is that it wasn't really a secret. I mean, Karl Rove, Chris Jankowski, they didn't seem like they were hiding.
No, I think you're right. If I'm guilty of hyperbole anywhere in that over-the-top subtitle, it is with the word secret. The Republicans did, in 2010, lay their cards on the table. I mean, Karl Rove writes an op-ed that runs in the Wall Street Journal in March of 2010 that says, we are going to take back a Congress by running aggressive races in all of these small towns. And then he names a bunch of them. And he says, we will take back Congress by using redistricting. And he's like, when you draw the lines, you make the rules. And it's just a catastrophic strategic failure by the Democratic Party I don't know if they just weren't reading the Wall Street Journal that day or what. But Karl Rove meant what he wrote. And the Democrats didn't have the strategic vision to come up with this themselves, but they also didn't have the ability to play defense and sort of block against it. It was a difficult year for them, but they still should have been able to say, well, if we don't want to get shut out completely in each of these states, we have to at least hold on to the Pennsylvania House or the Wisconsin Assembly. And they weren't able to mobilize their resources in a strategic way. I would say that the secret part of this plan comes into effect the following year when the maps are being drawn.
Chris Jankowski seems really proud of Operation Red Map. Republicans seem proud that they're, I mean, in a lot of ways, cheating the system, you know, using loopholes to kind of subvert the importance of your vote.
I think they'd say that it's politics. I think they'd say that we won these elections and you redistrict in 0 years, and if the Democrats didn't figure it out, too bad. You know, I think that they believe that they did their job and that the Democrats did not do theirs. You can certainly quarrel with that as a philosophical sense of how you look at democracy or the importance of the vote or whether country matters more than party, but that is what they would say.
In a state like Wisconsin, Republicans actually only need 45% of the vote to win the House.
Mm-hmm.
Is that common? Is that similar to other states?
Yeah, it's become very common, and it's the way that these lines are drawn. They're very, very artfully and specifically drawn to waste as many Democratic votes as possible. There's two ways that you can gerrymander. You can pack and you can crack. So by packing, the idea is that you throw as many Democratic votes as you can into one district, which then makes all of the surrounding districts more Republican. And then the other strategy of cracking means that you divide the Democratic vote just enough so that it never really reaches a majority, and it just becomes a wasted vote. I mean, some of the things that happened in Wisconsin in order to generate these lines are mind-blowing. You would see how in the seats around Milwaukee, especially, the goal becomes packing as many Hispanic voters as you can in these districts into as few districts as possible, because they're more likely to vote Democratic. And there's these amazing emails between the Republican strategists who are working on the maps, some of which have come out in the various trials in Wisconsin about these maps. And they admit that, you know, by wildly gerrymandering the 7th, I can move the Hispanic voting age population in this district from 40.8 to 42.6. I mean, that's how specifically they're looking at this, just trying to push those numbers up that much higher. They bring in a law professor from Oklahoma. His name is Keith Gaddy, and he comes up with this complicated algorithm that is also generated around Hispanic voters. And what he does is he estimates low turnout and low growth in the Hispanic population. And by doing that, I mean, it's brilliant in a way. It essentially provides a fig leaf. And what he's doing is trying to add to a conservative majority by saying the growth in these districts is going to be small. But it provides the fig leaf that they're attempting to comply with the Voting Rights Act, even though they know full well what the partisan impact of this will be, thanks to all the demographic data they have. I mean, in some ways, you want to step back and howl at how undemocratic it is, and at other times, you just step back and admire the audaciousness of the plan.
Now, you mentioned earlier trials, and of course, in Wisconsin, we are actually waiting on a court decision on the legality of the districting map in Wisconsin. Do you think that verdict could have implications elsewhere?
I do. I think that the case you're talking about, Whitford versus Nickel, is in some ways the most important gerrymandering case, you know, possibly in decades. It is clearly aimed at trying to establish criteria under which a court could determine whether a partisan gerrymander goes too far. The Supreme Court over the years has never forced a district to be redrawn because of partisan gerrymandering. They have tossed aside all of those cases over the years. But the last time the issue comes before them is in a Pennsylvania case called Veith versus Jubil Rearer. This is in the mid-2000s, and it's filed by a bunch of Democrats from Pennsylvania who thought that the gerrymander in that state was overly partisan in 2001. And Justice Kennedy says, the problem is I just don't have a standard by which I can tell whether this is the case. And he says, I'm open to someone showing me a standard that works, but without that, there's nothing I can do here. So it set, you know, smart political scientists and statisticians on the path to try and show Kennedy what might actually work. And there is something in this case called the efficiency gap that a bunch of University of Chicago political scientists have come up with that is designed to measure the number of wasted votes, essentially. If you figure that the art of gerrymandering is the art of wasting the other side's vote, the efficiency gap is designed to measure, you know, how effectively you have done that. And what they found is that the Wisconsin gerrymander of 2010 and 2011 is something like the 25th worst of all time that they were able to measure. And they're hoping that this can be a standard that courts will accept. The case is in front of the Seventh Court of Appeal now, but the plaintiffs are clearly aiming this at the Supreme Court and at Justice Kennedy specifically.
I mean, if they create a real standard here, what could that mean for us going into 2020?
Well, if you have a real standard here, then it would mean that citizens would have a way to contest unfairly gerrymandered seats and states. What you have now is you have to wait a decade, you know, and hope that you can win on those maps next time and then do it yourself, which is kind of an ugly way to have politics work. It makes them nastier, more expensive, more negative, all of the bad things. You can't ever take all the politics out of something as political as redistricting. But if you can generate a standard that says, hey, this is out of bounds, this is beyond the pale, then you would have recourse other than having a decade in which the minority party can control everything in a state and have the election that ends in the 0 year be the only one that matters. I mean, that's the real problem here, is that elections in 0 years matter now so much more than all of the other ones that if you win in 2010, you can lose in 2012, 2014, 2016, 2018, and it just doesn't matter. And that is dangerous for a democracy. It makes our institutions not responsive to the popular will. I don't say any of this as a partisan. I say it as someone who wants elections to work and the side with the most votes to win.
I think we all want our politicians to feel like they're accountable to us.
Yeah. When you have non-competitive districts, you lose persuasion, you lose compromise. You end up generating a very different kind of politician. I mean, I think you can see this both in gerrymandered state legislatures and in our gerrymandered House of Representatives, that different people win when the districts are very, very safe for one party. And it tends to be the candidate who is most extreme and who has the ability to turn out his or her party's extreme base, the folks who are most likely to turn out in a party primary. And it makes politicians fear not being cast out in the general election, but they fear being cast out in a primary. And when that's the election that you fear, you are not willing to govern, you are not willing to work with the other side or extend a hand across the aisle or sort of take the risks that come with, you know, the art of compromise, which it used to be the art of politics.
I was about to say, that's kind of what being a politician is.
It's what it should be.
Well, Dave Daly, thank you so much for speaking with me.
It's a pleasure. Thank you for being interested.
Dave Daly is the author of Rhett Eft, the true story behind a secret plan to steal America's democracy. He's also the editor-in-chief of Salon, and he spoke with Joy Powers.
WUWM continues to cover the Wisconsin gerrymandering lawsuit known as Whitford versus Nichols, and we're currently awaiting a decision from the Seventh Circuit Court of Appeals.